You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to... Hey, Boomer, this is that certain day of the week. This is the day we play it.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is. Guess what day it is. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
I love it.
Oh, man.
I was ready for that all day.
That's like my favorite thing every week is to play the camel. Well, hey, how are you, bud?
I'm good. Staying dry?
Yeah, man. It's just like nothing but wet outside.
I hope everybody's staying dry and safe on the roads.
Build the ark wet. But are the animals coming into the studio two by two? Just keep an eye out. Hey, I got to give a shout out before we do anything else, before we even talk about the triple dippers. Man, we got the coolest thing in the mail today. So JT from Lacey Springs, we are saying thank you right now, sitting on my desk. See if I can move my microphone stand so you can see it. So JT from Lacey Springs went to a local metal shop called Fastlane Metalworks. It's owned by a Navy vet named Mark Kinnemer. It is over in, where does it say where it is on the card? I don't see where it says where they are. But anyway, Fastlane Metalworks.
Text.
Well, it's amazing. So he did a plaque for you and I both. You've got one on your desk. Read out what yours says.
Right Side Radio Controller, Honorary Captain Boomer.
And mine says Right Side Radio Commander, Colonel Phil. So JT from Lacey Springs, you are the man. Thank you so much for that.
Yes.
They are in a place of prominence here in the studio, and we appreciate it. We got the best listeners in the world.
I know. It's awesome.
Hey, 4 o'clock today, the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. Dale back after a two-week hiatus, but he's back with us today. So, yeah, Grand Council today at 4 o'clock, and then we got a full-up triple dipper. Hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right. Three stories you got to know. The triple dipper. Three stories you got to know for today's show. Boomer's a little quick on the trigger today, but... Number one, we do this occasionally, a walk in Biden's world. All right, so he's the commander-in-chief. He is the head of foreign policy. He's the guy. He's the dude. And there's a lot of things happening in the world. There's a lot of instability. There's a lot of things to deal with. Some of it's not even on everybody's normal radar. We're going to talk about them. A walk in Biden's world, number one on the triple dipper. Number two, I was looking at some stuff, and I thought, you know what? There's an old saying we used to use in the military. There's a fine line between hardcore and stupid. Yep. And we're going to talk about that. There's some stories that have come out. By the way, law enforcement, I love law enforcement. I support the men and women in blue, bar none. But I will tell you, there's a couple of stories that have come out in recent days that have been troublesome. We're going to talk about them. Fine line between hardcore and stupid. We'll talk about that. Number two on the triple dipper. And then number three on the dipper, the military vaccine mandate. Man, that sucker's in the news right now. We got an audio clip from Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee. We're going to talk about what's happening. Are they really going to get rid of the military vaccine mandate? And oh, by the way, will they reinstate people who lost their careers because of the military vaccine mandate? Lots to talk about. Number three on the dipper, the military vax mandate. That's where we're headed. But let's just pivot over now to my opening monologue here, my comments for the day. I got to tell you, I came across this amazing video. You may have already seen it. It's about a year ago, actually. There's a man, just a dude, on his way to work. And apparently this is what he did every day. He stopped in and got a cup of coffee. He's standing there in this surveillance video wearing jeans and a ball cap, talking to his buddy that runs the local Quick Mart, where he always stops, like I said, and gets his coffee in the mornings. And three would-be robbers came in the door right behind him, with one of them pointing a gun and shouting that they open up the register. But our dude just turned, and with zero hesitation, he knocked the guy's gun hand up and decked the armed robber while his two buddies just beat it out the door. All you could see was nothing but elbows and shoe soles as they abandoned their bandit brother. It was epic. Well, I sent it out on my Twitter back then, and I said, when I did, there's sheep and there's sheepdogs. But as I drove to work that same morning, I was amazed to already hear that hero on Fox News describing what had happened. He was a former Marine, and he credits that to some degree with his actions. It was somewhat of a muscle memory. But then he also said that what really drove him was that long ago, he decided that he was going to be the kind of person that would do that kind of thing, that he would look to the care and well-being of himself and those around him. That's a sheepdog. He decided in advance how he wanted to be. I tell you all this because that mental state that he described is where we have to be at all times. You have to prepare in advance for what you'll say, what you'll do, how you'll react, because if you wait until the crisis emerges, it's already too late. Like in the Army, in reflexive fire training, we would work on the hard skills of pivoting from the ready position while flicking off the safety on our M4s, put three rounds in a close-up target, ideally two in the chest, one in the head, and then return to the safe ready and pivot back. It was less of a marksmanship thing. It was more reflexive fire training. It was muscle memory. You all remember the Karate Kid. Show me, sand the floor. Show me, wax on, wax off. That was all about muscle memory. But those are physical things, right? And while that is important, remember the dude from the video, it was less about his physical muscle memory. It was more about his mindset. He had a mental muscle memory, if you will. He had already predetermined what kind of person he wanted to be in that kind of moment. That's why I say so often on this show that if we're here every day for 3 hours, I want to enlighten, empower, educate, and entertain you in the course of describing what the conservative view on life is in our world. If you're steeped in your position, then you're better able to respond when the time comes. Because believe me, the day you openly take a stand of any type, you will be challenged. I remember having to respond when I was in office. I was challenged all the time. I mean, liberals, teachers union, they hated what I was working for. I determined, though, that as much as possible, I would do all that I could to be professional without giving up any ground. And so I had this thing that a lot of times I would say. Because one of the things that the liberals love to say is they would send me a nasty email. And I mean, I got some nasty emails, and the teachers union members were the worst, which is amazing because they were also the most grammatically incorrect. But they would send me these emails, scathing personal attacks, talking about what kind of person I must be, and like they really knew me. And they would sign off saying things like, "We'll make sure you never get reelected." And my response was usually, "I didn't get elected to get reelected. I'm going to do what I believe is right." I had one of them one time that just thought that was the most insensitive thing she'd ever heard. "How dare you say something like that?" And I emailed back and I said, "That was a direct quote from Ronald Reagan." I never heard from her again. So the bottom line was, I had an answer prepared and a mental state conditioned to deal with what I knew was going to happen eventually one day, and it worked. I got to be honest with you, the other thing I tried to do always is have my answers ready to go at a moment's notice, and we have to do that in our various aspects of life. Think through what you'll say. Some people call it your elevator pitch. If you're in an elevator and the doors close and someone asks you an important question and all you have is the time it takes to get from one floor to the next to give them an answer, what would you say? Things like your faith, things like your position on politics, things like why you're voting for a certain person. How would you describe it in a short but concise and meaningful manner? And then at the same time, study, prepare. Like I remember for a fact when I was, 18 years old, learning how to become a volunteer for Young Life Ministry before I ever went on staff, I was going through training and they were encouraging us to memorize various aspects of Scripture. And I was in downtown Huntsville and there was a lady on a street corner. And I thought she was witnessing, you know, from my faith, basically, and it turns out she wasn't. And she began to sort of ping me with all kinds of things that I knew weren't right. And then I would respond with a verse, and it would make her mad. And she would ask me something else that was totally off the wall, and I would respond with another verse I just memorized. And then at one point, she was kind of getting past what I could deal with, and I said, "Well, I've got my notebook in my car over here. You mind if I grab it? And it's got my notes in it." And so I did. And at some point, she finally looked at me and just shook her head and turned around and walked away. But the bottom line was, I wasn't some kind of superstar with Scripture, but I knew where to find it, and I had taken the time to memorize a few, and you know what? It wound up working out. But if that fails, let me tell you, understand you don't have to go to the defensive. You can pivot. You can initiate your own version of what I would call reflexive fire training for your viewpoints. Simply ask the person confronting you to justify their own statements before you reply much more. I mean, liberals hate to be put in the position of having to debate their own position. That great conservative icon, Thomas Sowell, he came up with three questions. He says these are three questions that every liberal should be asked when they want to debate. Number one, compared to what? Number two, at what price? And number three, what hard evidence do you have? Think about those things. When they say, you know, a man can be a woman, what hard evidence do you have? When they say that we should spend, like, money on Medicare for all, at what price? Or when they say something like, you have no idea what you're talking about, I believe this is different, you can say, compared to what? Those three questions right there will disarm almost every single argument because they have to be prepared themselves, and generally speaking, they are not. And I'll be honest with you, be prepared to do the same in return, though, just in case they do fire those questions at you. Because like I said, liberals don't like confrontation any more than that woman who was preaching on the street in downtown and saying things that I thought were just totally off the wall. But we ought to be ready at all times, Scripture says, to be given accounting for those things that we believe in, and do so with gentleness and respect. So prepare in advance. Get your muscle memory down. Decide how you want to be. Decide what's valuable to you, and then decide how you want to be known, and then be that. Be the sheepdog. That's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there it is. Yeah, that dude, man, in the video I was talking about, it literally was a matter of a second. Three dudes rush in thinking they had it going on, and one old boy sipping his cup of coffee just grabbed him and knocked him down. And it was done. It was over. The other two just ran away. They didn't know what to do. But he said he had decided well in advance, if the day ever came, that's the kind of person he wanted to be. He was mentally there. The muscle memory was in place. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Man, the text lines are already going strong. If you want to text in, we'll take them. 833-687-4448. Right now, the screen, we're also live streaming the show on Boomer. What all are we on? We're on, what, Facebook?
We're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and our website.
Yeah, Right Side Radio. Yeah, thank you.
the website, the
rightsideradio.org. By the way, that view, both views, what's in on the screen right now, you can see the plaque that JT from Lacey Springs sent in. And
oh, yes.
Man, it is, how cool is that? Love that. And the guys, by the way, the company that made them is called Fastlane Metalworks. That's works with an X at the end. And you can find them, apparently their website is www.fastlane.store. .store is an actual .?
You said? .store.
.store, okay. Yeah, www.fastlane.store. Very cool. Thank you for that, JT, again.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Lots of stuff on the text line. So Bill from Huntsville just texted in. It says, about the man, the guy in my monologue, about the man who disarmed the robbers in the convenience store. Way to go, Sam. So, and he has a picture, yeah, of the guy that used to, the dog that used to grab Wile E. Coyote by the throat. And then talking about my thing about how liberals don't like to be debated, AD from Athens texted in and said, liberals can't tell you why they believe what they do. And I responded with, they just want you to accept their own truth. And he said, yes, or else.
And then another good one was Chappie from Madison.
Oh,
talking
yeah.
about Mr. Miyagi.
Oh, yeah.
Any monologue that referenced Mr. Miyagi immediately ascends to the top of the list.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Jeremy from Huntsville had good things to say about the monologue. Thank you, Jeremy. Juan from Newmarket says, everyone wants to be an operator until it's time to do operator stuff. I said, there it is. But you know what, though? Decide in advance, man. That's the thing. And you don't have to be a former member of Delta or SEAL Team 6. You also don't have to be a great debater. Just go ahead and prepare in advance for that moment that you know is coming when someone says, why do you believe what you believe? Or here's what I'm going to do to you if you don't do what I say. And just decide how you're going to be in that moment and then go for it. We got so much stuff on the show today, and it's going to be hard to get through all of it. So we'll see, especially with the Grand Council coming in. That's always a hoot. But, yeah, we got – number one is a walk in Biden's world, which, you know, is not a – Now, granted, by the way, when I say that, if it was Trump in office still, I'd say I walk in Trump's world. He's the commander-in-chief. He's the one who sets policy. Now, he may not have the power of the purse. The legislative branch has that. He doesn't make the laws. He enforces them. But when it comes to foreign policy and military action, generally speaking, the executive branch has first say. Now, going to war, a true declaration of war requires, the consent of Congress. But nonetheless, military action can initiate under this president. So when I look at what's happening in the world right now, and when I also gauge the level of foreign policy or lack thereof that we have in this administration, well, there's a whole world of stuff, brother. Let me just tell you. And some of it is not on the radar. Like, it's one thing for us to see a story about, energy independence and whether or not he asked Saudi Arabia to drill more. Okay. How about all the backstory on that? What about the fact that China's now meeting with Saudi Arabia? Oh, really? Yes. How about the fact that Iranian drones are being used by Russians in Ukraine? What? Yes. How about the fact that North Korea just reopened trade with Russia and now has a rail line unloading station where they're actually bringing goods to and from? I mean, the storylines go on and on. How about the fact that Australia is calling on the United States to get far more active in the Indo-Pacific right now because of things that we're seeing in the rise of China? So all this stuff, we're going to walk through some of this in a walk in Biden's world, and it's very telling. It's the kind of thing when you look at it, and you know, my friend Stephanie Smith, she comes on the show quite often. She actually tweeted out this morning, yesterday Biden had basically drag queen holiday on the lawn of the White House. It was unbelievable. In fact, one of his major guests was somebody who has encouraged on social media, has encouraged transgender surgeries on kids, and, oh, by the way, has also encouraged pedophilia. But he was a drag queen who was invited to be at the White House yesterday to celebrate the so-called Sanctity or Respect for Marriage Act, where they basically signed into law what was already legal. But that being said, that's who's in charge. And my friend Stephanie Smith tweeted out this morning, with regards to all that, elections have consequences. And yes, they do. Well, on the world stage, they also have consequences. We're looking at it right now, man. Right stinking now. We're watching the world. And by the way, the world is watching us. And things that happen one day affect what happens the next day. If you don't think that the debacle of a pullout from Afghanistan didn't have ripple effects in our alliances and movements around the world, he got another thing coming. If you don't think for a second that whether or not we send Patriot missiles over to Ukraine speaks loudly to the rest of the members of NATO, you got another thing coming. If you don't think it's significant that we're backing the Kurds in their quest for peace and somewhat of an independent autonomy in Syria, and we're looking at Turkey maybe invading Syria because they hate the Kurds, and Turkey's a NATO ally. There's some odd things happening in the world, y'all, and we're going to talk through all of them. All right, text lines are open. You're welcome to text in. Tell us what you're thinking. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. That's the number here at the studio. You can also call in on that number. Just try to stay on topic when you do. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. All you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Boomers laugh for very. I forgot to unmute my mic again. But hey, this show, by the way, covers a lot of ground across the northern part of our state. And I'm talking about way down south of Birmingham to up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Number one of the Triple Dipper, a walk in Biden's world. Man, listen, there's some stuff happening out there, and it just keeps getting thicker, it feels like. But the first story I've got, though, is like right here at home. So military.com had a story that came out this morning. $6 billion in aid to Ukraine flows through Alabama's Redstone Arsenal. How about that? Army Material Command, which, by the way, I remember when, as a kid growing up at Redstone, we were stationed there when my dad was a major. Much younger than that, I remember my grandfather being the post commander as a one star. Now it's like multi-stars. It's like the Milky Way down there. There's so many stars walking around on Redstone Arsenal. But Material Command was not there yet. Of course, it just moved there, in the last 15 years. But Material Command brought a whole new realm to Redstone. And anyway, military.com. Material Command, headquartered at Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville. Renee Mosher, the Director of Operations and Readiness at the AMC, said the command has handled $6.8 billion in weapons and supplies for Ukraine since the Russian invasion in February. Here's her quote. That gives you the magnitude and the scope of the support that we're managing to support Ukraine in this war effort, all at the same time balancing readiness of the United States Army and ensuring we maintain the equipment we need within the U.S. Army to support our own readiness and our troops' training and warfighting requirements. So apparently there was a panel discussion about aid to Ukraine at the Redstone update at Von Braun in Huntsville just like in the last week. Anyway, interesting to me to find out that national headlines are talking about Redstone Arsenal and the level of things that are going through the commands there. It doesn't mean, per se, the parts themselves were physically controlled at Redstone. At the very least, though, they were directing traffic on it. The article goes on to say, too, good on you, all you green suiters out there, for handling your job like you do. Thanks for your effort. Major programs, it says, sent to Ukraine include the Javelin missile, the Humvees, the National Advanced Surface-to-Air Missile Systems, that's the NASAMS, and then a variety of other systems, and they're also looking at Patriot missiles here in the near future. And she talks about the fact that it's not like it happens overnight. She talks about the fact that the letter of request has to be received from a partner, a letter of agreement has to be come together, they get it all done. They do this for all the allies, she said, but Ukraine has definitely added a sense of urgency because they're actually in a fight right now. So that's interesting. A walk in Biden's world, the first thing out the gate. Look at what's happening at Redstone Arsenal right here in the northern part of our state. Pretty amazing. And I'll be honest with you, if you're not familiar with Anniston Army Depot, it's like one of the quieter, lesser-known facilities in the military command. I say lesser-known and quieter, but only in terms of its, you know, broad notoriety. It's not necessarily quiet. But Anniston Army Depot has really been ramping up, even more so, and they had a huge major mission when we were definitely in the thick of things in Baghdad because they were refitting armored vehicles and sending them back out. The depot, they do an amazing amount of work there, and the systems they have to do that work is also amazing. And I got to tell you, too, it was also crazy to me. So I get down range at my second tour. I'm in Baghdad, and my team is attached to an infantry battalion in central Baghdad, and we get to the FOB, small FOB, just a battalion-sized FOB. We get to the FOB, and we're trying to, you know, locate our new hooch and see where we're going to be shacked up for the next year or whatever it is. And so we're sharing the hooch. It was my team, a three-man PSYOPs team, and a two-man EOD team, Explosive Ordnance Disposal. And so, everybody's getting to know each other. Hey, man, where are you from? The EOD guys were from Anniston. They were stationed at the depot. That was crazy. I said, where are y'all at? Anniston Army Depot. I live down the road from that. Anyway, it was, you ever eat at the top of the river? Sure. We were just talking about stuff. All right, a walk in Biden's world, though. Think about the things that are happening, some of which you never see. Like, for instance, what are our allies and what are other nations that don't necessarily share our foreign policy, but they have to live with it? What are they saying about our foreign policy, and how are things developing in various theaters around the world? Well, the Indo-Pacific with China, is probably one to really watch, especially in the years to come. If China truly stays on the ascension, and they are going to continue to make provocative moves in the South China Sea, building their fake islands. And that, by the way, that's what they do. If you're not familiar, China is going out into the South China Sea. And, you know, every nation under maritime law has its territorial waters. And those territorial waters are, generally speaking, a certain distance from the shores or from the last controlled shoreline. Well, if you go out, in China's book, if you go out and build an island by dredging and piling sand and dredging and piling sand and dredging and piling sand, and you actually build islands further out, then they're extending their territorial waters. Then they claim invasion when you sail through them. So the whole thing has been something, and they're arming, by the way. They're arming the fake islands that they're building. Well, Real Clear Defense has an article that came out just recently. And it goes down the list of concerns that various countries are having about the Indo-Pacific. This all came from, all these comments that I'm about to read you are in quotations. Every one of them came from what is known as the Regional Security Outlook published for 2023 by the Council for Security Operation in the Asia-Pacific. Okay, there's a mouthful. But here, let me read through a few of these. Japan finds itself at the security crossroads due to a resurgence of power competition, great power competition, meaning China. Next line, Canada frets that the Washington consensus on the existential threat from China means Canada's options to engage with China are now limited, meaning China would like to extend more trade, but they recognize they've got to deal with the United States. India seeks a new global balance because the Sino-American partnership that allowed Asia to develop and progress has almost collapsed. That's interesting. Dubious of America's long-term commitment to Southeast Asia, Thailand is leaning closer and closer to China. That's also interesting. Singapore sees the U.S. girding for a concerted effort with its major allies to degrade China's capabilities as a challenge to America's global preeminence. So what I'm saying is this. When Biden gets friendly with China or doesn't push back on China, when he's too soft on their extremist foreign policy and their overreaching in the South China Sea and the things that they're doing in and among the trade routes around the nation, around the world, when our allies see that, they sit up and go, oh, man, what's that mean for us? Because, see, that's what happens. It's not just, now, granted, the first thing we have to consider is what's in our national interest. But the second thing that has to be considered is how does what we do impact those around us who we are considered to be allied with? And the last thing in this article I'll just point out says Australia wants the U.S. back in the game in the South Pacific because China has changed the game. The outlook for great power competition in the Indo-Pacific flows through to more contests in South Pacific. All right, I just gave you a rundown. War in Ukraine, state of Alabama is highly involved. By the way, the Javelin missiles, if you didn't hear the story, I can't remember when it was, but the war is only, when did the war break out, Boomer? What, February? Is that when the war launched in Ukraine? Yeah, he's nodding yes. Yeah. The majority of the Javelin missiles are made in Troy, Alabama. How about that? Yeah. And then on top of that, you've got the majority of the military aids being coordinated through material command at Redstone Arsenal in Alabama. Very cool. Then you've got the Indo-Pacific with China on the rise. Now let's pivot. Let's pivot now to what's happening with Saudi Arabia. This is not good. This bothers me. And by the way, this story came from Axios. Phil, did you go to Axios? Yes, I did. I sure did. Bunch of liberal hacks. Guess what? They wrote a story that I like. Well, I can use that. Axios, dated December 11th, so it's what, 3 days ago. Secretary of State, former Secretary of State Pompeo Xi, that's China's Premier Xi, Xi's visit to Saudi Arabia is a result of bad American policy. Okay, think back to when Trump was in office. The Abraham Accords, the beginnings of true peace treaties among previously warring nations in the Middle East. Saudi Arabia becoming much more aligned and friendly and workable. Now, do I think they have some human rights issues? No, yes, but nonetheless, go find me the perfect person. Go find me the perfect nation for us to deal with. There's very few that are literally like us, so to speak. Even Canada to our north has socialist tendencies. All right, so all that to say, Saudi Arabia. State visit by President Trump to Saudi Arabia. Rolled out the red carpet, man. It was an amazing event. It was like nothing we had seen in our lifetimes. I remember watching on TV thinking, look at this. This is new and different. And that all went away when Biden took office. Now what's happening? China saw an opening. When Biden came in claiming that he would undo everything Trump had done, which he's been doing, and he literally began to attack Saudi Arabia, calling them pariahs and saying that he would take it out on them, and then next thing you know, gas prices are going up and he's begging them for more gas. Guess what happens? China's President Xi Jinping visited Saudi Arabia this week, which was a result of bad American policies, his former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Driving the news, Xi's four-day visit to Saudi Arabia included three summits with several Arab leaders and came in the midst of heightened tensions between Saudi Arabia and the Biden administration. During the visit, Saudi Arabia and China released a joint statement outlining their alignment on a host of global issues, including Ukraine, Iran's nuclear program, and the war in Yemen. The last thing we need to see is China stepping into our vacuums, all right? I agree with Pompeo. That is the result of bad American policy. What they're saying, Pompeo says, is when you won't be partners with your friends and your allies and you offend them and you simply won't do anything to push back against your adversaries like Xi Jinping, you see exactly this kind of hedging behavior. So that's where we are right now. The peace that was beginning to break out in the Middle East is now settling back into discord, and the relationships that we were forming with Saudi Arabia now seem to be on edge. And guess who's stepping into the mix again? China. Because they see an opening left by the vacuum created by Joe Biden. Dang. Well, I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's take a break right now. We'll come right back. Story off of 1945.com, dated 2 days ago, is Russia close to using nuclear weapons in Ukraine? A walk in Biden's world, man. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, the text lines are going crazy, so we got some stuff. And by the way, I gotta take an aside here. So yesterday we did this this kind of rudimentary poll, just having some fun. And the poll question was, is Die Hard a Christmas movie or is it not? And we got a ton of texts back. And if I recall, Boomer, you said by about a 60 to 40 margin, the answer was, but it was yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. 60-40 margin. Answer is yes. But all, like the first however many it was all definite no's. Like, and then everybody else started chiming in.
Like passionate no's.
Passionate.
Like they grabbed their phones and sent that text as fast as they could. But one of our texters was Penny from Athens. And Penny from Athens said, yes, it's a Christmas movie. John McClane was part of our Christmas display in our front yard last year. And they sent me a picture of literally, they have a mannequin dressed up like John McClane, barefoot and all. And it has a sign next to it that says, Nakatomi Plaza, never forget, December 1988, yippee-ki-yay, which I thought was hilarious. Well, she sent me today that they do something different like this all the time. And so this year's Christmas decorations, they're using characters from Christmas Vacation. They've got Cousin Eddie in his leisure suit. they've got the
grandpa with the squirrel.
Yeah, the grandpa with the squirrel, which is hilarious. But, you know, it's kind of poignant, too, because she told me they do this every year for fun, but they also do it because it's a memorial to them for their son who they lost some years back. And so I just thought that was just very cool. Penny from Athens, thanks for sharing that. That's just cool. All right, back to the topics at hand. A walk in Biden's world is where we are. John from Huntsville just texted in and said, Phil, could you imagine they opened up a theme park called Biden World? He said, at least they wouldn't have to spend money on professional clowns. Oh, John. But yeah. And Jeremy from Huntsville said, with regards to one of the stories I just had about Australia wanting us to get back in the mix because of the Indo-Pacific threats from China, says maybe Australia wouldn't be so scared if they wouldn't have disarmed their own citizenry. Nice. Well played. Well played. All right. Let's jump in here. Next story I've got, 1945.com. By the way, there's several good, if you're just into like deep dives, like open source intel, if you will, a couple of, or two or three good sites. One is General Jack Keane runs the Institute for the Study of War, and they have a great website. I think it's just called instituteforstudyofwar.com or .org. Anyway, you can check them out, Institute for the Study of War. They have deep dive analysis of what they see happening in various regions throughout the world, not the least of which is Ukraine. Some of the best stuff I've read on Ukraine comes from them. There's another website called 38north.org, and 38north is truly almost like an intelligence summary. You read it, it just lays it out. Here's what we saw. Here's what our analysis shows. And then the next one is 1945.com, which is kind of half numeral, half spelled out. The numerals 19, the words 45.com. They are a little bit more editorial. They tell you what they see, but they'll kind of elaborate on it. So this first story I've got here from 1945.com, dated yesterday. Let me grab it off my stack so I can do my signature rattle there. Headline, is Russia close to using nuclear weapons in Ukraine? Now, I said this once before on here. You can't ever rule anything out. If Putin's going to rattle those nuclear sabers, you don't rattle it out. And as we walk in Biden's world, recognizing that, you know, Putin is who he is, and he does not feel constrained by the Biden administration, apparently. The question about whether he would use what 1945.com calls doomsday weaponry is still doubtful. It's on the lower end of the spectrum in terms of its probabilities. The points made in this article are spot on. It's unclear, they say, whether Putin still entertains unlimited strategic aims vis-a-vis Ukraine, meaning it's unclear whether he intends to unseat the Kyiv government and forcibly try to take over the whole country. It says, judging from this year's lackluster performance, Russian arms appear incapable of accomplishing the goals of such a sweep. But he certainly wants eastern sections, and that's the thing. For Putin to use nukes, he is putting not only the sections of the country that he wants at risk of being unusable or, you know, or incapable of being, you know, fully occupied, but he also, by the way, is looking at the prevailing winds. The prevailing winds are typically blowing off of the Black Sea, moving inland towards the north. In other words, any fallout from a nuclear blast could well just blow right back into Russia and maybe even its ally Belarus to the north. So all that to say, is Putin looking at using nuclear weapons? Well, he's still saying things about it. He's still intoning that he's a nuclear country that could do something if he had to. Whether he will or not, of course, I will say this. The man's crazy. I mean, anybody who is a world leader that thinks it's a good idea for him to pose shirtless riding bareback on a horse while he's out fishing so his people can see him looking like the strong man is not a dude who just thinks clearly. And there are other indications that he does not operate on the usual planes that we operate on. And he's got nukes. So, won't rule it out, but looks doubtful. However, here's an interesting piece. Story from Times of Israel. As we walk in Biden's world, I find it extremely interesting that Russia, which used to be the exporter of arms and communism around the world to the Soviet Union, is now having to import its weapons because it's running dry. When we get back from this break, we're going to wrap this section up. I'm going to tell you, I mean, right now, guess who two of the biggest suppliers are of arms to Russia? Iran and North Korea. We'll talk about it when I get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, a walk in Biden's world. We'll be right back. Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, live from the Right Side Studios, hour number two. Phil Williams here, local, state, national. We cover down on all the issues, and like the dude just said, yes, we are. Solid conservative and just plain right. Well, hey, listen, kind of moving towards the tail end of this section of the Triple Dipper, a walk in Biden's world. Some things you may or may not know. All right, the war in Ukraine, everybody knows about that. And the majority of people listening to the show, I am sure, remember the days of the Cold War. A lot of you do. I was a Cold War soldier. Grew up in the era when we had to, you know, be taught about flash to bang time for nuclear explosions and, you know, dealing with the Soviet Union. And then, you know, the Hunt for Red October was the big movie and just, you know, all this stuff. I remember reading the book Team Yankee. What a great book about the possibility of a war with the Soviet Union. And then the Soviet Union fell. But there was never the loss of the mystique of the Russian bear. And yet what we're seeing in Ukraine right now is calling that seriously into question. Seriously into question. And all that to say, what we're looking at right now is really kind of boggling the minds of people who remember the days when the Russian bear was considered to be the most vaunted foe. And I'm not saying they're not a foe. But what I am saying is this. It is not what we thought. I mean, I watched this morning, I sent a video to someone that came off of 1945.com, as a matter of fact. It was an article about tank-on-tank warfare, which we really haven't seen since World War II for the most part. But tank, well, I take it back, we had some in the first Gulf War, certainly. But tank-on-tank warfare has been hitting levels that we've not seen since World War II in the war in Ukraine, and Russia's getting waxed, man. Literally waxed. Well, they're running out of arms. Go figure. This is not what we expected. I remember days when there was one Soviet, I don't remember when it was now, there was a Soviet fighter pilot who defected with his plane. And when we had a chance to examine firsthand, we were kind of shocked at the interior of his fighter. I mean, I think I remember hearing that there were wood-paneled interior of the plane. You're looking at it going, what? But nonetheless, what we're seeing right now is Russia is having to import weapons, and two of its major suppliers, Iran and North Korea. Go figure. So, headline here from Times of Israel, dated yesterday. Ukraine claims to shoot down a swarm of Iranian-made attack drones over Kyiv. Ukrainian forces said Wednesday they had shot down an entire swarm of Iranian-made drones launched at the capital by Russian troops in their latest attack on Kyiv. Explosions rang out over the central neighborhood in the early hours of Wednesday, the mayor said. The terrorists, he said, started this morning with 13 Shahids. And so Shahids, yes, those are. They're called suicide drones. Basically, the drone itself is a bomb. They fly it in, just crash it into whatever the target is. So they can see the target through video relay, and then they just crash it right in. So basically, Iran is now supplying Russia in its war in Ukraine. Gives Iran a great testing bed to sort of beta test all their weapons. Moscow last week also targeted Ukrainian energy infrastructure, piling pressure on the country's power grid, whose operators have for weeks been forced to implement rolling blackouts because they are constantly doing what we know as indirect fire attacks. Russia is running out of arms, and I've got another article on that here in a minute. They're running out of, allegedly, Intel is saying, they're running out of the munitions necessary for their tanks, not to mention the fuel and the supply chains that they need. Are being basically obstructed or for that matter, degraded. And so what they're doing now is they're having to import their weapons. The war in Ukraine, arms from Iran and North Korea. Next story I've got, though, came from Fox News. Fox News, Russia struggling to replenish its arms even with Iran and North Korea aid. So, yeah, the article starts off here saying Russia is struggling to replenish its reserves even though it has support from nations like Iran and North Korea. Moscow's war in Ukraine has dragged on for more than 9 months, far longer than Russian President Vladimir Putin ever predicted. By the way, far longer than U.S. intelligence predicted also. Thank you very much. Russia's inability to successfully push its forces forward and recent losses on the front lines has prompted the Kremlin to continue its assault by relying heavily upon shelling and aerial assaults, which we know is indirect fire. We assess that at the rate of fire that Russia has been using its artillery and rocket ammunition in terms of what we would call fully serviceable artillery and rocket ammunition, they could probably do that until early 2023. That's an intel report from an unnamed source in U.S. or Western intelligence. Now, I take it with a bit of a grain of salt because these are the same people that predicted that the war wouldn't last more than about 14 days. Okay. So the same people that thought Russia was going to steamroll Ukraine are now saying, well, we see them as being on the way towards having to use outdated munitions, which could be unsafe. That may be true, but nonetheless, there it is. Russia has used Iranian drones to hit Ukraine. It has also taken steps by virtue of its relationship with Tehran to streamline its own drone production. There you go. 38north.org. As we wind up this section, 38north.org, pure intsum, all right? This is just literally taking intel and just looking at it. 38north.org, recent commercial satellite imagery indicates that goods have been delivered from Russia into North Korea's heavily secured railway at Tumangang. So basically what we're looking at here is the North Koreans have established trade with the Russians, which has not been there in a number of years, mostly because of COVID, but also because of relations. The activity comes about a month after the first train, it says, was observed crossing the bridge between the two countries in several years. North Korea announced in September it would resume rail traffic with Russia, which had been suspended for almost 3 years. What we're looking at here, folks, is an entirely different world. Keep in mind, the Saudi Arabia that met with China was the Saudi Arabia that greeted and had a major state dinner with President Trump. Now they are dissing Biden and meeting with China. The North Korea, where Trump walked up to the DMZ and actually stepped across the border and had a photo op with Kim Jong-un, who's a nut, by the way, but had a photo op with Kim Jong-un, and we didn't see any missile launches, and we saw a relaxation of tensions on that Korean peninsula. That's changed. North Korea is now launching missiles into the Sea of Japan on a regular basis, firing artillery across the border, and oh, by the way, supplying weapons to Russia in its fight against Ukraine, knowing full well that's contrary to our interests. And then on top of that, Australia's like, hey, where you at in the Indo-Pacific? Because we need some help down here. Let's get things livened back up, please. India is concerned that the Indo-Sino trade or Sino-Indo Indian trade or agreements are all falling apart. And we're looking at things like the next article I've got. What's at stake if Turkey invades Syria again? Keep in mind, the reason why we have troops in Syria at all, which a lot of folks forget we do, is because the Obama-Biden administration bailed on Iraq. Bailed on Iraq. I'm not saying it wasn't time to leave, but just like the way he bailed on Afghanistan, he learned how to do that by helping to bail on Iraq. And when he bailed on Iraq with no other plan in place except, get out! And they just packed up their gear and left. It created a massive power vacuum, and who filled it? ISIS. ISIS filled it, and we had to resurge and go back in and begin cleaning out ISIS. It was under the Trump administration that we truly cleaned out ISIS. In the process of doing that, our greatest ally were the Kurds. The Kurds who occupy whole zones of northern Iraq, southern Syria, parts of northern Iran. The Kurds are an ethnic group that has no country of their own, but they have regions where they are the dominant ethnic majority. All that to say, the Turks hate the Kurds. The Turks, by the way, happen to also be NATO allies. The Turks, by the way, have President Erdogan, who is a very touchy individual who has been making overtones that he would like to go ahead and realign himself with Russia. Why? Because that way he can also liven up his own tensions or lighten up his own tensions with Syria and share that warm water port through the Bosphorus that everybody wants to use. All that to say, folks, this is all happening. At the same time I'm talking about all this, Turkey has a bomb go off in its capital of Istanbul. They blame it on the Kurds. And they're using that as a pretext now to say that they are staging a potential invasion into Syria to wipe out the Kurds, who, by the way, are our allies in the region. What does that tell you? We have lost favor with those that we had favor with just 3 years ago. We are sitting here with a Biden administration right now whose foreign policy is feckless at best and who leaves us in a position where those who we were allied with or strengthening our position with just a few years ago are now turning away from us and moving towards our enemies. That's a difficult position to be in. Listen, I tell you what, brother, we got to take a break. You go ahead and tell our caller, if you will, to hang on through the break. We'll do that right now. Then we'll come back and I can do him justice, all right? Let's just do that. We will take this break right now, folks. We'll come right back. Moving on to the next part of the Triple Dipper. There's a fine line between hardcore and stupid. I'll tell you what I mean when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Making it cool to be a conservative. I got a caller who held on during the breaks. Let me honor his time. Is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana. How you doing, brother?
Oh, trying to stay dry right now.
Good luck with that. I think the entire listening area is wet right now, is what I see.
It was wet when I left home. It's wet down here. It hadn't quit yet.
Well, at least it's consistent for you, so there's that.
Yes, it is.
What's going on, brother?
Hey, what you're seeing in Russia doing right now is a prelude to what's going to happen to us. I remember when the Soviet Union collapsed and everything. You remember seeing all the pictures of the ships and submarines resting in the harbors? And
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and, you know, basically they went bankrupt trying to keep up with us. And the way we're going now, this country is already bankrupt. We just got creditors as crazy enough to keep funneling money into us, I guess.
Well, they've got a printing press that runs on overtime right now that prints money at just makes the drop of a hat.
Yeah. So when this country collapses economically, what do you think is going to happen to our military? And furthermore, the worst part about it is the Chinese, the Russians, the Koreans, the North Koreans. What do you think is going to happen in that part of the world when we can no longer project our strength? I mean, I'm not afraid of us getting invaded by anybody because we have the nukes, same as what happened to the Soviet Union. I mean, the Russians still had the nukes. Nobody was going to touch them. But they probably, at the time of the collapse, they probably couldn't have whooped Belgium.
No. No, I doubt it. And I'm not sure they can now either. But, you know, Jeff, your point's well taken, man. I mean, if we keep running down the roads of these policies, and, oh, by the way, this fiscal policy that we're into, to spend ad nauseum, and you know, and Biden even submitted a defense budget that was lower than even a bipartisan Congress could abide by, and so yeah, it's something's got to change. We've got to. I look back on the Reagan era, and I know you know I've said on the show before, you've heard me say it. It took a Carter to bring us a Reagan. I am just praying that we're going to wind up coming out of this Biden era sort of like we came into Reagan after Carter. I'm just praying we have a one-termer and we put somebody in there who brings us back to Reagan's days.
Yeah, but we're going to have politicians that will stand up to our addiction to capital as far as money is wise. Do you see it going? I mean, we keep spending money that we don't have and we haven't even paid back any of the loans, basically. When do you see that turning around that it would actually stop, you know, the only time I see it stopping is when we completely collapse. And then they'll be going, oh, my, what did we do?
It's going to take a change out of the old guard right now to make that happen. We have, you know, the Freedom Caucus is very fiscally minded, very fiscally conservative. I got a text from a guy last night who's affiliated with one of the more conservative groups in D.C., and he said, if some of your state lawmakers would please write a letter to Shelby and tell him to quit siding with the Democrats on this spending bill, we'd be a whole lot better off. And I agree with him. McConnell and Shelby, they've gotten so numb to the idea of spending that they don't even track it anymore. They just go and do. Spending for them is just a leverage for the next thing they want on the next bill.
Well, it's going to have to be a change of the mindset of the people who are the takers instead of the givers. Long as you're on the take, you're not going to change everything. It's going to, you know, you're going to have to start weaning off now because it's going to be too late eventually. And then it will be a civil war like you've never seen, because it'll be the haves that prepared for this and the have nots. It's going to be a bloody war.
Well, I hope we never get to the point of another civil war. But I do know this: Biden better wake up, because yesterday he stood on the White House lawn, you know, having his drag queen event, and announced that his economic policies were working and that things were going great. At the same time, stories are running talking about eggs are 47% more expensive than they were last year. Hey, listen, Jeff, I got another caller holding the line, man. I got to run to it. All right. All right, buddy. See you. Line five. Is that Kareem? Yeah. Kareem from Huntsville, how you doing, man? I hadn't seen you in a while.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
I'm good, buddy. How you been doing?
I'm fine. I am fine, but I just have a little problem with the last thing you said about the Kurds and outstanding with them, of course, because it was Donald Trump that pulled us out of Syria and left the Kurds as far as, I think he left them to Turkey, and Turkey was over there killing them indiscriminately after we pulled out of Syria. So why would you contribute that to Joe Biden?
Oh, no, no, no.
They didn't want to be our friend down after we left.
No, you misunderstood. I'm not denying the fact that Trump pulled back. Now, he didn't pull completely out of Syria. He listened to his generals, and he kept a contingent there. But it's far smaller now than it used to be. But I'll say this. The Kurds didn't stop being our allies. We just didn't have anybody there. But we have troops there now, and they're in harm's way if Turkey invades. And truly, who is our most staunch ally in that region is going to wind up being the Kurds. So it's a difficult spot to be in.
If they want to help us, I don't know. I think that's what they probably have a problem with now, because we left them. We ran. We cut ties with them and left them there to die.
Well, and unfortunately, we've done that more than once. You know, right after the first Gulf War, there was talk about what would happen to the Kurds if we pulled out, and we didn't have any follow-up under the first Bush administration. And the Kurds got whole villages of Kurds got gassed by the Saddam Hussein regime. So I ain't arguing with you on this one, man. I agree. We got to quit bailing on our allies. How about that?
All right. Absolutely.
Kareem, did you and I disagree?
I agree with you.
I think we disagreed on something. Is this a sign of the end times? What is happening?
I was about to call you yesterday because Rocky III is Club Elaine. Now, Rocky IV, that is Ivan Drago.
Yes, you're right.
And I'm talking about, yes, absolutely. Trust me, I'm a complete movie buff. I got every last one of them. I got them in VHS, Blu-ray, and DVD.
Oh, all right, man. We appreciate you. You have a good one. All right, we'll see you.
Yep.
Wow. Boomer. Kareem and I disagreed on something.
That's awesome.
I don't know how to take this. Does that mean like a sign of the end times? What's happening right now?
I don't know. I mean, it is raining outside, but I mean, I was chatting with him earlier, and I was like, all right. I mean, he's always nice on the phone.
Oh, he's great.
He's great.
We disagree.
I love it when he calls him.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, and JT from Lacey Springs just texted in and said the crowd goes wild. Phil and Kareem agree. Hit the applause button, Boomer. Woohoo! There it is. All right, the music's playing. That means I'm up against a break. You guys, stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Show covers all of North Alabama. I'm talking about way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. I got somebody holding on the line. Is that Sparky? Sparky from Harvest. How you doing, brother?
I'm awesome. Great show, you and Boomer.
Thank you, man.
Hey, on the topic of leaving allies hanging, we did it at the end of the first Gulf War.
Yeah,
I remember waking up and a Iraqi conscript had made it through our camp. We were in disarray up in Iraq, and this guy just walked in holding his hands up, and I steered him toward a lieutenant who was half asleep in a Humvee at dawn's early light. Anyway, there's the nicest guy. He didn't speak any English, and we didn't speak whatever his dialect was, but he knew some French, and one of the soldiers on the ground spoke some French, so he talked to him. He was a conscripted shop owner who'd been grabbed up 3 weeks earlier and given uniforms and a rifle and zero training.
Wow.
And sent forward to die. And he was a nice fella, and last I flew away and saw him sitting on the tailgate of a vehicle drinking a Fanta soda and eating some ho-hos and ding-dongs and just, you know, was happy he was alive. He was in the hands of some good people. And to learn later that most of those guys who had either been captured or given themselves up were killed and or treated very cruelly by the Saddam regime after we pulled out. We didn't finish the job at the end of the first Gulf War, and there's things we could have done to save thousands of good Iraqi men who probably perished because of how we kind of walked out of there and took our victory lap, right?
Yeah.
We didn't really finish what a lot of us thought we were there to do.
Well, I totally agree. I mean, we degraded their military capabilities, but we did not do anything with regards to their ideological capabilities. And the Kurds, as to Kareem's point earlier, the Kurds, literally, we abandoned the Kurds who we had, you know, allied with on the ground, and that's why we had to go back in and establish the no-fly zone over Kurdistan area of northern Iraq, because they were constantly getting persecuted and shelled and attacked by the Iraqis.
Right.
Well, as always,
I don't know.
Huh? Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm amazed that successful military operations can turn into politics as usual, and then everything just falls into what's convenient for the politics of the moment. And that, you know, you could name more stories of that, I'm sure, that I could. But I don't know. We need leadership so badly at this point in the military, and we need a commander-in-chief who knows what day it is and what his own name is, I think. That would be helpful. That's my wish, Santa, if you're listening. You know, I've had lumps of coal every year. We need a commander-in-chief who doesn't need a wet nurse.
Wow. Well, all right. Well said. I don't know that I can even add to that. But, hey, Sparky, appreciate you, man, as always. And, again, thanks for your service.
No, you too, Phil.
All right,
thank
bud.
You.
Wow. All right. It's funny because the text lines kind of got quiet as we were doing that whole section there on A Walk in Biden's World. But they've livened up again, and then the call started coming in too.
Yeah,
so.
they livened up right after Kareem jumped in. Like, even Brian from Huntsville said.
Brian called in. What did he say?
Yeah, he said, "Man, I just wanted to tell Kareem I agree with him and Merry Christmas." So Brian from Huntsville said that to you, Kareem. Just wanted you to know that.
All right. Well, there it is. And love broke out on Right Side Radio. All right. Listen, I'm gonna move to the next part of the Triple Dipper, knowing full well that at the top of the hour we're moving over to the Grand Council. Let's see how far I can get with this. So the second Dipper of the day is called A Fine Line Between Hardcore and Stupid. Now, we used to have that saying in the military. I don't know if everybody else used it. Maybe it was just my running buddies. I don't know. But there's a fine line between hardcore and stupid. And by that, what I mean is sometimes, like, you know, jumping out of an airplane, that's, you know, or you know, rappelling off a cliff, those things are hardcore. You want to do something a little more extreme. You want to do something kind of, you're going to go in there and you're going to stay the route and you're going to stay on task and you're going to get the mission done. You're hardcore. Every once in a while, though, every once in a while, you find that person who is known to not necessarily work smarter, just to work harder. There's a fine line between hardcore and stupid. That being said, I wrote this section's title because of a couple of stories that I've got and, oh, by the way, something in the law that is really there to benefit law enforcement that has occasionally been abused. Civil asset forfeiture, and I'll get to that in a moment. I mean, here's my fine line between hardcore and stupid piece. First story I've got came out just a few weeks ago. Did you hear about this down in Valley, Alabama, down there in Lee County near Auburn? Authorities in Valley, Alabama arrested an 82-year-old woman for failing to pay her trash bills. I kid you not. Story on CBS News. This is a national story. Martha Minifield was arrested and released on bond on November 27th by the Valley Police Chief Mike Reynolds, by the Valley Police, said Chief Mike Reynolds in a statement. In August, Minifield had been issued a citation for non-payment of trash services for the months of June, July, and August. And then they issued a warrant for her arrest. And Minifield, who basically says, we can't use discretion, we have to arrest. I got news. Fellas, there's a fine line between hardcore and stupid. And the fact that you cuffed an 82-year-old woman and took her in for not paying a trash bill. And by the way, I've seen a picture of her house. She obviously has no money. So, I don't know. Maybe you pass the hat at the police station and you go in and pay the bill so the court will leave her alone, because I've paid my trash bill before. It's usually not that much. What are we talking? 20, 30 bucks a month tops? Well, the reality is there's a fine line between hardcore and stupid. Please, Mr. Police Chief, don't tell us you didn't have any choice, because you did, because you have discretion. And oh, by the way, you had discretion in how to handle it. But the next story I've got came out yesterday, also on AL.com. A municipal judge in Alabama found two women guilty on all charges Tuesday in a case that started when they were caught feeding and trapping cats on public property near the courthouse. I kid you not. Wetumpka Municipal Judge Jeff Courtney sentenced 61-year-old Mary Austin and 85-year-old Beverly Roberts to 2 years of unsupervised probation and $50 fines plus court costs for each charge, and he added a suspended sentence of 10 days in jail for both women because they kept feeding wild cats near the courthouse. Now, let me say this. The women have been told to stop. They have been asked not to because more cats kept coming. It was becoming a nuisance. They claim that they are animal rights, I don't want to call them activists, but bottom line is they're very active in animal rights issues. And they were catching these cats and having them spayed and neutered so they wouldn't keep breeding. Okay, that's your thing. But then they're re-releasing them by the courthouse and then coming back and feeding them every day. Then more cats would show up. Anyway, but they get arrested. Not only did they get arrested, they got cuffed. And then they got taken to court. Folks, at one point in the body cam video, you can hear one of the ladies saying, y'all have three cop cars here because I'm feeding cats? Y'all are unbelievable, she said. You're wasting city gas coming out here. And I got to tell you, despite the fact that I know she'd been warned and she was probably obnoxious, I agree. And one of the women was 85 years old. I mean, for the love, fellas, Wetumpka, what are you doing? They're feeding cats. How about this? Call your animal control office and have the cats removed. And maybe then they won't be there feeding them anymore. Okay, now, let me just caveat everything I just said by saying I recognize those are anomalies. The men and women in blue, we love you on this show. We talk about it all the time. What I hate seeing, though, is when someone takes their job and goes from being hardcore to stupid. And where it used to happen a lot is in a thing called, I say a lot, where it used to happen too often was in a thing we call civil asset forfeiture. What that basically is the fancy name given to cash and items that are seized because of criminal activity. Now, here's the thing. When I was in the state Senate, I used to go out on task force raids with my local drug task force. I would show up. They'd have a roundup, and I'd show up with them, and we'd serve warrants half a day or more. And it was an honor to go out there with them. It wasn't just a ride along. I was armed. I was temporarily deputized, wore a vest, and we went out. And it was pretty eye-opening. That being said, there were times when that task force was able to maintain its budget because of what it seized in some of those raids, because drug dealers always work in cash, you know? And so you'd find mounds of cash. I remember one time they actually had an entire house that wound up being forfeited, and when the person was convicted, they were able to sell the house and the proceeds went to fund the drug task force. I get it. I think that makes sense. I also look at one time when I was in Mobile years ago. I went to college at University of South Alabama. I'm driving through Spring Hill region of Mobile, and coming up down, I saw a white Mercedes, and it had red and blue lights on top of it. I thought, what is going on? And then as it got closer, I saw that it had the City of Mobile seal on the door, and big letters on the back door, it said, this car was seized from drug traffickers who were recently convicted of a crime. And they were driving it. It was a billboard, basically, for the police office, or police department. Civil asset forfeiture is not always bad. But unfortunately, Alabama's laws were so lax on it that there were times when it became abusive. So we reformed the law in 2021, I believe. Yes, 2021. Let me tell you, we worked on that for several years. It was still going when I was in office. But I mean, here's the thing. Law enforcement and district attorneys were saying, please don't change the law. But yet, there were times when you had things happening like what was going on down in Inslee, when a guy who runs a business called Far Computers in 2017, Frank Rinelli, he showed up at work one day, according to the story here from AL.com. He showed up at work one day, was opening his store, and all of a sudden he had 20 officers from Homewood and Mountain Brook who were surrounding his store. He said some were wearing flak jackets and carrying assault rifles, and they seized every computer in his store, 130 computers, saying that they had gotten a tip that they had been part of previous crimes and that he was trafficking in stolen computers. He was never convicted. It never happened. And he never got the computers back. Okay, when you're seizing property from an innocent civilian who had nothing to do with the crimes that you initially thought were there, the property has to come back. When you're seizing money during a traffic stop and you don't give it back, even though the traffic stop didn't result in a criminal conviction, that's wrong. We saw that happening, by the way. What was the city here? I'm looking at it right now. It was, Castleberry. This was the mecca of abuse of civil asset forfeiture. Little town of Castleberry, Alabama, down in South Alabama. In one particular case, a guy named Trey Crozier was driving his Mercury Sable through Castleberry, and the officers pulled him over, and they basically seized $1,750 that he had with him. He was never charged with a crime. He was much less convicted. He never got his money back. And so the end result of this is Castleberry was actually a small town that was in decline, didn't even have a police force, and the police chief there, who was hired by the mayor, decided that the best way they could handle this was to become a traffic stop nightmare for people who were just passing through. And they seized stuff left and right, and they funded the city with it. Civil asset forfeiture should not occur if you're not convicted of a crime. When we get back from this break, I'm going to tell you what happened in 2021 that began to mitigate some of that and bring it back to a place of hardcore but not stupid. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Civil asset forfeiture, a fine line between hardcore and stupid. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, by the way, let me tell you guys, ZLA Solutions, those folks have been with us since this show began, and they are amazing at what they do, doing a great job at putting jobs and people back together and just providing general business solutions all around to their clients all over, really way outside. I mean, they're all over the nation right now, but they started right here in North Alabama. And they've got, if you're looking for a job, let me just tell you, take a look at their website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got great jobs posted right now all over the northern part of our state, big name employers, good pay, a lot of them with benefits. But at the same time, if you are an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your workforce. Well, ZLA Solutions, that's their bread and butter, man. They will provide you with the onesies or twosies, special niche skills, or for that matter, a whole shift of people. You tell them what you need. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. Yeah, that's ZLA Solutions. And if you would, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Just go to ZLAUSA.com, start that relationship with them, and they will be there for you. All right, listen, I'm going back into this section on civil asset forfeiture. Had several texts here. Brian from Huntsville texted in. Civil assets and forfeiture on the old ladies feeding cats. How far is a bag of Meow Mix going to help? I don't know. Donna from Coleman. Why don't they just go down to the southern border? Feral cats are better than feral humans. Wow, Donna, wow. Okay, there's that. So several others that I'll try to get to in a little bit. Let me tell you, so here's the deal. Civil asset forfeiture, I am okay with it if you can prove the crime. In other words, if the crime existed or the assets are defaulted, meaning nobody showed up to claim them, then I get it. Default, there has to be a period of time when default has occurred. There has to also, by the way, be a conviction. If someone says, that's my stuff, I want it back. Well, you don't want to, if you find a pile of cash in a drug trafficker's house, should you give them back the fruits of their illegal activity? And I don't think so. But if it turns out that that's really just someone who is, you know, worried about banks and their bank is their mattress and they're storing their money there and there's no conviction, well, then those should not be something that is retained by the government officials, the police departments, the task forces, whoever. So Heritage.org, Heritage Foundation, wrote a piece in February of 2019, talking about the fact that we finally reformed Alabama's laws, or we're taking steps to change Alabama's laws. It says officials across Alabama will now have to document crucial data on civil forfeiture. So they have to now have a database that shows where it went. Transparency is important. When you've got towns like Castleberry that are abusing the system, when you've got people like down in Valley that forget their place in life and they arrest 82-year-old women for not paying their trash bill, you look at it, go, okay, wait a minute. And so right now, the way it works is Alabama District Attorney's offices have to track a wide range of all this data, according to a story here from Heritage, dated 2019, the date and location of the seizures, whether a seizure is related to a highway interdiction or not, which direction the car was traveling even, the underlying criminal offense that justified the seizure, whether the property owners were represented by an attorney or they were pro se, and the final disposition of any case, all of this is going to be compiled and has to be reported annually and posted, I believe, on a website. But that being said, came back in 2021, and they actually passed a new law. This is after I left the legislature. I was there for the setting up of the database piece, but the new legislature finally passed an amendment that literally says that you cannot seize amounts less than $250. You cannot seize cars valued at under $5,000. And oh, by the way, there has to be a criminal conviction for you to be able to maintain possession. It talks about several stats here. This is an article from Forbes, by the way. It says, over the past 2 years, Alabama agencies opened 2,158 forfeiture cases, seizing $12.7 million in cash, 477 cars, but the owners rarely recovered what was taken from them. During that same period, law enforcement returned just a mere 38 of those cars, along with only $139,000 in cash. And it says that winning a civil asset forfeiture case in Alabama was so difficult that many owners didn't even bother to hire an attorney to fight back. I get it. But Senate Bill 210 did pass. They did modify what too often went from being hardcore to stupid. And they brought it back to a realm that makes more sense. And in my opinion, leaves you with some rights so that if your property is seized because of an allegation or a reasonable belief, you have a chance to get it back. All right, there's that. Fine line between hardcore and stupid. Does not mean we don't love our law enforcement, because we certainly do. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming right back with the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, here's that time of the week. We go every Wednesday at 4 o'clock. We do this thing we call the Grand Council. Got two other brethren in talk radio who've been doing this longer than I have. We get together. We ping each other with questions. We don't even know the questions in advance. And we just see how we do. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. We always love each other when it's done. Let me just call the roll. For after coming back after a two-week hiatus, Dale Jackson, program director and morning show guy at WVNN up in Huntsville, writing for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you with us?
I am. What? And I'd like to just say, I checked the streaming stats in the 2 weeks I was off. Lowest ever. Now that I'm back, putting things right. I'm here to save the day. Don't worry.
Oh, Lord. Well, I'm so glad that you're back to save us from ourselves. And then also on the Grand Council, without any absences, by the way, perfect attendance, Jeff Poore from the Jeff Poore Show, FM Talk 106.5 down on the coast, and also the executive editor for 1819 News. Is you here, Jeff Poore?
I am president. I like to say that Dale Jackson is lying about the streaming numbers.
And we have the streaming numbers to prove it. Thank you very much. All right. Well, I do pronounce a quorum for the Grand Council. Hit it, Boomer.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da! Ta-da! All right. Here we go. I tell you what, I'm going to take the first one this time. All right, fellas, here's my first question. So drag queen story hour dude, teacher Miller, James Miller up in Huntsville, taught at Mountain Gap Middle School. I say taught because it appears he's finally leaving. But he got caught. 1819 wrote a big story on this when he got caught on a video. Libs of TikTok exposed him making lewd comments in front of children doing a drag queen story hour. Yet 2 weeks later, he's back on the job. Nobody said a word. And then, oh, by the way, 1819 has a news story yesterday. Old dude's on a podcast saying that he was, quote, in his own words, covertly putting LGBTQ materials in his classroom, and that stories were the best way for him to get through to the kids. We now see his agenda. We hear he's leaving. Here's my question after all that. Is anybody else going to lose their job for letting the guy stay on the job when they knew full well what was happening? Jeff, you first.
No, it's what Huntsville wants. Quote Dale Jackson, Huntsville's turning into Birmingham from an ideological standpoint. This is what's going to be. You get what you vote for. These elections have consequences. And I think the people in charge of the Huntsville City Schools are, they may not be okay with it, but they're not ready for heads to roll.
Okay, Dale, what do you think, man? You see it every day. What are you thinking?
Well, I talked to a member of the school board who will remain nameless, and they had they had already said that this whole retirement thing was going down before. That tells me they found something else, not this stuff that was going on in Morgan County, because I guess he didn't particularly specifically say, I'm doing this now. I mean, I think we can all draw those conclusions. But my guess would be they found something, and they said, you're done by the end of the year, and we're going to push this under the rug. And I'm telling you, these guys are inviting they're inviting legislation. That's what they're inviting. They're inviting. I mean, they are just begging the legislature to crawl all up inside and get in there and say, okay, hey, you want to play these little games? When a teacher has a disciplinary thing, well, maybe we make it searchable or something along those lines. If these are the games they want to play, they're going to lose. Because the legislature, all they got to do is get fired up the right way. And I know a couple of people that can fire them up over this.
Well, and rightfully so. I mean, when you've got a guy who obviously is a predator, who literally says that he put himself in the position of being a counselor to little kids, knowing that he says, in his words, what was it in the article, I think, that a second grader could tell that they were gender fluid. I mean, for the love of God. And then he literally says he's hiding things from the parents and making sure that they have it in the classroom so that kids will know what's, you know, in his version of truth, I guess. Totally agenda-driven, needs to be dealt with. I'm glad he's leaving, but I can't help but think, is Huntsville City Schools going to have any policies in place about more, you know, detailed?
No, they're not even going to answer. They're not even going to answer these questions. They're not even going to say why he's leaving. Going to imply that he's leaving because he wanted to. And, you know, look, we've all been students and we know people who are teachers. We all know about those mid-year retirements. Those are just normal things. Nothing weird there, right? No, nothing at all. It's just unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, and never mind that he's been exposed and been on national news, because thank you, 1819, for bringing this to our attention.
Oh, yeah, no question.
All right, Jeffro, now that I've bragged on 1819, your turn. What you got?
Well, I want to piggyback on your question, and you said it, Dale. You're inviting the legislature to do something. What more can the legislature do to stop things like this? And whatever they do, how do you make it enforceable? The problem with the Alabama legislature is they pass a lot of things with no enforcement mechanism, and then they pat themselves on the back, and this vaccine exemption at times has been that. I mean, like, what do you do? What do you do? What can they do to keep this stuff from coming into our public schools?
Well, I think one of the first things that they can do is they can pass mandatory background checks that go beyond just have you ever been convicted of a crime. You know, they can literally have background checks. And I'm not saying that they have to have like a top secret security clearance and go through, but you know what? Ain't nothing wrong with having a more detailed review of a person's history. And oh, by the way, look at the fact that too often what happens, and I guarantee you what's happened in this case, is he lawyered up with his AEA paid lawyer and they negotiated his exit. That's probably why it took so long. But then on top of that, you see too often they leave from one school system and go to another, and we don't have clarity on why they left. And so I would think that some of this needs to be more trackable, and there needs to be some more accountability. Dale?
Well, I tend to agree with exactly what you're saying there. The one thing that I had heard is making disciplinary files more publicly available. And not that anyone wants to go look at everyone's disciplinary file, but if you want to play this game where you're hiding, well, okay. I mean, if this is what you're going to do, you're going to force them to do something. And we may not like what that's going to be, but tough. You're proving that you're untrustworthy. And so I would suggest educators and others in the education business, you might want to get in the ear of the Huntsville school system and tell them to knock it off before they find themselves in a situation where they're making things hard on all of them. And because going after educators – and the education establishment is a winner. It is a winner politically. Senator Williams, you know that more than anybody. If they're doing bad and they're mistreating children or whatever it is, that's a winner politically. I mean, listen to Katie Britt talks. What does she talk about? School, education, children, families. I mean, I'm telling you, this. Say what you want. The consumers of that product, of the state education system, they're all basically parents, which are probably predominantly straight. They are parents who are very upset with this kind of nonsense even being brought into their schools, no matter how they feel about this. I've heard plenty of people say, oh, I'm woke, but this is crazy. And I think that's pretty much how people feel about stuff like this.
Yeah, I totally agree. Your own question, Jeff, your thoughts on it?
Like you said, I'm skeptical there's much they could do. Sure, background checks, but would a background check have detected this situation? And so I guess my question is, like, what could they have done to prevent James Miller from being a part of Huntsville City Schools that would have disqualified them? How far do you take it? How far do we want the heavy hand of government to go? And you know, look at all of the county association, the municipalities, they would certainly oppose this. I think you've got to figure it out at the local level, but Huntsville is failing its constituents in a miserable way.
Well, totally agree in that regard. All right, fellas, what we got one left is Dale. Have you asked your question yet?
I have not.
Then go for it, buddy. We got about 2 minutes.
All right. The American Conservative Union says Alabama has the most conservative legislature.
Oh boy,
it's probably true. But how did they get that with the tax issues we have, the spending issues we have, and the idea that we had to force them to get the vaccine probably or to ban the vaccine mandate? That probably helped them. But how did they get there? How did they become the most conservative?
They're not the most conservative. It's purely social issues that got them there. And if you're looking at fiscal accountability, they're losers in right now. I mean, they're literally looking like more like California or New York on a lot of their fiscal policy or lack thereof. And that's so frustrating to me. And are they a red state? Yes. They're a red state legislature. But they've gotten to the point that they are so comfortable being red that they forget that they have to recognize that they have principles they have to abide by as a red state legislature. Jeff?
And I'll be real quick here, but I went to those last 3 days of this 2022 session that they passed the VCAP and the bathroom bill and all of that. Before that, I mean, what were the big social issue achievements? It was like the abortion ban, sports and transgenders. I mean, how is that carrying the day? So I think this ACU survey is completely flawed for a bunch of reasons.
Your own question, Dale, sum it up.
I pretty much spoiled or tainted the water, but yeah, I think that this is all about social issues, and I think that they play those games very well. Well, fiscally, doing a little sleight of hand.
Oh, there it is. All right, hey, end of round one, perfect timing. Let's go ahead and take it to the break there, Boomer. We'll come right back. Man, that was quick. All right, round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, and Dale Jackson from WVNN, also writing for Yellowhammer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Going back now with the Grand Council, we got Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile and 1819 News, and Dale Jackson at WVNN up in Huntsville, and also writing for Yellowhammer and me. So first question, round two, fellas. Here you go. You ready? The COVID vaccine mandate for the military, talk in D.C. right now of being lifted. The House has already passed the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, and they have written in language that would remove the military vaccine mandate. The DOD says they still want it. The Biden administration says they still want it. And Tuberville on my show yesterday said they're working right now through the details of how to get that passed. Your thoughts, will they lift the military vaccine mandate? And if so, how far will they go in terms of reinstatement? Jeff Rowe?
I think they'll lift it. The Republicans are going to get something out of the 2022 cycle, and I think that's where the public is at, too. Reinstatement, I don't know. That might be a step too far, but I think it's going to trend in a positive direction, but it may take a little time to get back to where we were.
What do you think, Dale?
They better do reinstatement. I mean, I'll tell you what right now, they better do it, because if they don't, I'll tell you what, whoever the Republican nominee for president is, they absolutely will promise that. And that will become, that's going to become a big campaign issue, taking these people who lost their livelihoods and giving them that back. I think reinstatement, I think back pay for and their time and service should all be handed back to these guys. Unbelievable. Yeah, I think that... I think it's gone, and I think they will be made right eventually.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at, too. That's exactly what you just said. It better happen. I mean, you know what it takes to earn those hard stripes, Dale. You served, and the reality is once somebody's put in that time and they've decided to make a career out of it, to have that short change because of a policy decision that then you later on find out that nobody else in society is being held to, nobody,
No, let me make another point here real quick. Yeah, if you're a teacher strategically inserting books into your classroom that you're not allowed to do, you can get your retirement then. If you didn't take a vaccine that's turned out to be a total bust, you lose your entire livelihood, your GI Bill benefits, you lose everything that you've worked for your entire life. No, screw that. Yeah. They need to fix that.
They absolutely got to fix it. And, oh, by the way, it's a recruiting nightmare right now. So you want to end some of the recruiting and readiness and sustainment issues they've got. Then allow for reinstatement, and you're going to see some of the ranks swell up with people that miss what they were doing because it was their calling. All right, next question. I think, Jeff, you're up. What you got, bud?
A couple weeks ago, BCA named Helena Cooper the new head of the BCA, taking Robin Stone's place. Robin Stone, of course, formerly Blue Cross Blue Shield. Turns out she's voted Democrat, given money to Maxine Waters' PAC, a bunch of things that make you think, wow, she's a Democrat. Not that that's a huge deal, but is it indicative of something going on in the business community of Alabama headed in a more leftward direction, or am I just wearing my tinfoil hat?
No. I mean, I think that you're absolutely right. So first of all, this is a bright red state. We're a very business-friendly state, listed over and over again in trade journals as being one of the most business-friendly states in the nation. And the immediate past president of the BCA is now the incoming Republican senator for the state of Alabama. And they hired not only a Democrat, but a Democrat who supported Maxine Waters, who didn't even vote for Katie Britt, even though she worked with her. So I look at that and go, okay, somebody somewhere literally was choosing to just ignore all that. And I think it portends bad things. I mean, they can go ahead and say, well, we're about business. Well, I got news. The BCA is extremely influential in Montgomery, and they ask for policies that are sometimes beyond even just business related. So I look forward to seeing what happens, but I can't help but think this was an intentional, either ignoring it or intentional to bring it in. Dale, what do you think?
They're going to find themselves in an AEA-like situation where people are kind of afraid of them because they bring big money, but they don't have the same power the AEA has where they can just activate their stupid email list and make people annoy legislators. So I think they better watch out with what they're doing here and how they're playing. I know a lot of people got upset with them in the past over the autism stuff and things like that. And I think that the gas tax is another one where some legislators, I think, felt kind of pressured by them. I mean, this might become one of those, okay, we'll take your money, but I wouldn't expect too much. I mean, I think that's what this might turn into.
Your own question, Jeff. What do you think?
I think they're fading into irrelevancy. They got their butts handed to them with the exemption bill during that special session for reapportionment. And then they're trying to punish Republican lawmakers by not giving them campaign contributions and giving the Democrats, I think they gave them 4 or 5 this cycle. They're just making a bunch of boneheaded mistakes and not acknowledging the idea that we live in a one-party Republican state with a bunch of right-wingers that vote a certain way, and you have lawmakers that have to react accordingly. They think that we could just walk on past that you could ignore that. They are going to be irrelevant, like Dale said, like the AEA, but it's like you said, one that they had to fall back on, not a whole lot.
Well, I'll tell you what, fellas, we are down to the end. I mean, like, we got a minute left, so let me throw you just a yes or no question. Dale, I'm gonna go ahead and supersede your question and take chairmanship here. A moment of personal privilege. Here's a quick question for you as we run out of time. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie or is it not? Dale?
I think it is, but I hate the debate. My question would be, is Mo Brooks going to jail?
What? Is Mo Brooks going to jail?
Yeah. They're talking about him again as the ringleader of January 6th.
Oh, that was going to be your question, I'm sure, wasn't it? All right.
Yeah.
Jeff, what do you think? Is Die Hard a Christmas movie or is it not?
No and no.
I'm going to go. I didn't even go on the record yesterday. We polled all of our listeners. 60% said, yes, it's a Christmas movie. I'm going to say, yes, it's a Christmas movie. And no, Mo Brooks is not going to jail. Not at all.
Okay.
All right, fellas. That's it. Grand Council, Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5, The Jeff Poor Show, and Executive Editor, 1819 News, Dale Jackson, Morning Show Host, Program Director, WVNN up in Huntsville, and writes for Yellowhammer, and me, Phil Williams, and it's Right Side Radio. And we'll be right back. all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
Turn it up.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. I'm talking about this show goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Alabama, or Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, before I go any further, we're about to talk some military stuff here, but let me do this first. My friends at Riley and Jackson Law Firm. All right, you've heard me talk about them before. Listen, these are actual friends of mine. I've worked with them on cases. I've worked with them on issues. I like to say they're not just good on the law. They're good on politics, too, if you know what I mean. A major law firm. They're based in Birmingham. They work statewide. But Riley and Jackson is working on this Camp Lejeune water contamination stuff. They got like five lawyers working on it. And there's literally been upwards of 19 different major illnesses attributed to the water contamination at Camp Lejeune. And if you were there from the years 1953 to 1987, in any capacity, even as a dependent or a trainee or a TDY or a permanent duty station, you may qualify for a claim, and Riley and Jackson can help you with that. And the other thing they wanted me to let you know, too, speaking of the military, if you were a firefighter or if you were in the military using firefighting foam, they're also working on cases right now that prove that some of that firefighting foam was carcinogenic, and there has been major cancer illnesses attributed to the use of that foam, and you may qualify for a claim in that regard as well. Here's the deal. If you want to know if you qualify for a claim, they will not charge you for a phone call. You'll get a real person on the phone, and they'll talk you through it, and they'll see whether or not you have a claim or not, and they don't get paid unless they get a claim to the point of reimbursement for you, period. All right, having said all that, here's the deal. If you want to call them, they've got several of our Right Side listeners that are now clients, they've told me. If you want to call them, their number is this, Riley and Jackson, 205-879-5000. That's Riley and Jackson, 205-879-5000. Just give them a call. Tell them you heard about it here at Right Side Radio. Oh, I got to do that thing. You ready? Here we go. No representation made the quality legal service before the great legal service before other lawyers. What did I do?
Hey, I timed you. You did 2.8.
2.8.
2.8.
I think my best was 2.6 ever, yeah. Right? I'm not even sure I pronounced all the words correctly that time. all right. Hey, listen, we're going to number three on the Triple Dipper. Yes, I made it to number three on the Triple Dipper. Booms, we made it to number three. Thank you. Thank you very much.
There we go.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll be here all night. All right. So the last one is the military vaccine mandate. Military vaccine mandate, probably one of the worst worthless military policies I've ever seen. Now, I guess back when everything started, you looked at it and thought, oh, man, okay. I mean, first of all, there was ridiculous overreach on the part of the Biden administration to mandate all of society. Well, they couldn't mandate. They were going to use OSHA to go in and mandate vaccinations in private employers. Well, that resulted in lawsuits left and right. And then, oh, by the way, it came out that some of the vaccines were manufactured with using stem cells, which created a religious objection on the part of many who applied for their religious accommodations, and they were getting blanket denials without getting what the law calls a case-by-case review. And then on top of that, you had the first responders, and you had some cities doing their own mandates, and you had people losing their jobs, losing their careers. We now know that there's nothing about transmission of the illness that is prevented by having the COVID vaccine. Remember all the promises? 14 days to flatten the curve. And here we are 3 years later. And on top of that, we were looking at, you know, if you'll just stop with the pandemic of the unvaccinated and get your shot. Well, no. How about this? The president of the United States has had COVID like what, twice? The Secretary of Defense, who made the policy, has had COVID at least, what, twice? Like, he had what they called a rebound case, I believe. All right. Here's the update. You probably already heard the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA, basically the military budget, which also includes some policy, has been passed by the House, is waiting now for potential passage this week, they say. Senator Tuberville was on the show yesterday and said that they believe it's going to get passed this week. The House version of the NDAA removes the vaccine mandate for the military. So here's a story from National Review dated today. The Pentagon, it says, is now a theater itself in the fight over vaccine mandates. Last week, Republicans in the House of Representatives demanded the end of the COVID vaccine mandate President Joe Biden imposed on the U.S. military back in 2021. Republicans inserted language ending the mandate into the NDAA for fiscal year 2023, which sets the policy agenda and authorizes funding for the DOD. Republicans and a few Democrats, by the way, it's considered bipartisan, have now insisted on tying the end of the mandate to the passage of the key bill, forcing the White House into a precarious position. All right, so John Kirby, he's the one of the presidential spokesmen. He's the spokesman for the National Security Council. He calls the repeal of the vaccine requirement for troops a mistake. In his words, quote, Republicans in Congress have obviously decided they'd rather fight against the health and well-being of those troops rather than protecting them. What a ridiculous thing to say. Did it stop Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin from getting it? No. So why are you going to end someone's career? Anyway, we got recruiting in the tank. We got morale at an all-time low. The National Guard has been exceptionally hard hit on this. We're looking at losing up to 11,000, I believe it was, National Guardsmen just in Alabama alone on the vaccine mandates. I have one friend who achieved the rank of major in a very select unit here in the state of Alabama who chose to get out rather than have them be able to discharge him dishonorably for not taking the shot, because he recognized that if he got out voluntarily, put his paperwork in, even though he was only a 2 or 3 years away from retirement, that he could get back in on his own later. But what's happened is you've got a bunch of folks that now were discharged. And so the question now becomes, was what was making sense back in 2021 still making sense today? And if it doesn't, why do it? And oh, by the way, the House bill, according to National Review, opens the door for the return of thousands of military servicemen and servicewomen who were dismissed for their refusal. My question, and the question of many, is will their return, if you lift the mandate, then, you know, Sergeant Joe Snuffy, who got out, can get back in. But if he gets back in, does he get his, you know, his time updated for service? Does he get his benefits back? Does he get his back pay for being discharged? And that's a question that's going to have to be addressed by Congress, because the DOD is not going to just give the money back. Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee has been leading the charge on this, along with a few others, including our own Senator Tommy Tuberville. I've got an audio clip from her being interviewed on Newsmax. Boomer, you got that clip ready? Let's do this. She's talking directly about the question of reinstatement. Let's play that clip real quick. Okay, so here's the thing. What I heard her say, and by the way, I like Marsha Blackburn, very solid, very conservative, typically gets good things done. What I did hear her say, though, was they're just going to work on trying to get it passed with the mandate lifted. They'll worry about reinstatement and back pay in subsequent legislation. I think that's a mistake. Right now, the leverage in this situation is the passage of the NDAA. If you pass it without those things, you have just basically, in my opinion, given away your leverage at a time when you don't have control of the Senate and you certainly don't have control of the White House. So my hope is that the Republicans in the Senate will have just, I mean, they've got, it's a split majority. I mean, it's like 50-50 and it's extremely close. If you peel off a couple of Democrats, you can get this thing passed with back pay and reinstatement. You can get their benefits plussed back up. And why would you not? Because the here you are passing a budget that is multi billions, like $844 billion. This is a drop in the bucket to the budget process to reinstate someone who never should have been discharged in the first place. And if you're going to lift the mandate now, I get it. There was a policy in place for a window of time. And you have the option to choose to ignore that, DOD. But Congress can mandate. And if Congress passes the NDAA without including that, I believe they've lost their leverage. Senator James Lankford, Republican of Oklahoma, he addresses how this is going to get done. He calls it a long-term strategy. Story I've got here from townhall.com. Lankford has been a vocal opponent of the vaccine mandate, which he furthered during Monday's call, reminding that it, quote, seems silly to just about everybody in the country because there's hardly an employer left that's requiring COVID vaccines. And the Biden administration has been absolutely obsessed with this issue, he says. He goes on to say, adding insult to injury is that the Department of Defense has had a balancing test for nearly two centuries about religious accommodations. And yet they won't grant them for this. He said they've granted religious exemptions for Muslim beards, Sikh turbans. When it comes to vaccines, however, Lankford pointed out such an accommodation request just seems to be hanging out there, and the DOD can't seem to make a decision, even when it comes to chaplains asking for the accommodations. So while the latest move finally resolves issues with COVID vaccines for recruiting or current active members, he said there's still details that have to be seen, such as specific language about how to address future religious accommodations and how to deal with reparations, in his words, reparations for ousted military members. In other words, how do we make them whole? In his words, reinstating workers with back pay needs to happen. And he also says, by the way, it's pointed out in the article, that's not without some history. You just saw in October, the New York Supreme Court ruled that state government workers who had lost their jobs for not getting vaccinated, they were not only owed their jobs back, they were owed back pay as well. That was the New York Supreme Court. So you got to imagine that if someone wants to get back in, that there's legal authority brewing now. It doesn't mean that it's presiding authority. It doesn't mean that it is the authority by which courts in, say, the 11th Circuit has to go by, just because the New York Supreme Court did it. But it does provide some measure of secondary law that has influence, and it indicates that the courts may be leaning towards reinstatement with back pay. So I think Congress needs to go, Senate needs to go ahead and just drive forward on this thing, make it happen. If you lose it on the NDAA, you may never get it back. Not during this administration, anyway. All right, Boomer, take the break, man. We'll come right back and wrap this up. The DOD, what are they saying about it? What's our Secretary of Defense saying about this? I got new comments that just came out. Tell you about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, listen, by the way, a lot of y'all hear me talk about it all the time, but I personally love going to Just Love Coffee Cafe. They got two locations in our listening area, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Parkway in Huntsville. Let me just suggest something to you, all right? So if you're like me and you're usually rushing out the door, a lot of times Charlene's got breakfast for me and I'm eating it in the car on the way to the office. Okay, let me just suggest something to you. Maybe tomorrow, give yourself an extra 10 minutes. Stop by Just Love Coffee Cafe. Have a breakfast that is far better than the drive-through biscuit. Have a breakfast that is far better than the protein shake you just gulp down while you're driving. Maybe get a womelet. Maybe get some waffles. Maybe get something like the bacon tater. Oh my gosh. So all these things are available to you at both locations. They got an amazing menu for breakfast, but here's one more thing, all right? Aside from the amazing award-winning coffees and what Charlene calls the treat coffees, like the cappuccinos and the espressos and the lattes, you can also be the hero at work. Consider their barista box. That's where you go in, and they fix you up with some freshly ground, award-winning dry roast coffee, light roast, medium roast, dark roast, your choice, and you take a whole box of that to work, and you announce when you get there. Nobody has to use the nasty old mold-infested Keurig thing down there in the break room. We got fresh coffee from Just Love Coffee, and suddenly you're the office hero. Just think about it. I'm just saying. Two locations in our listening area for Just Love Coffee Cafe, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Parkway in Huntsville. So worth checking out. And tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I'd appreciate it. Okay, listen, wrapping this thing up, military vaccine mandates, I do believe they're going to be lifted. I do. I think the White House is boxed in. There's enough Democrat support now for this. You've got Democrats who are having governors in their states saying, we're losing our National Guard because of you. Please do something. And the bill before them is the NDAA. It's the one that sets military policy and funding. The House has passed their version that lifts the vaccine mandate. The Senate is going to act this week. We're going to see what they do. My hope, my sincere hope, is the Senate will find some chutzpah, and they will put in their reinstatement and back pay for those who want it. By the way, it's those who want it. It's not like everybody. It's those who want it. Those who file a claim, if they want to get back in, can get back in with service time brought forward, benefits brought forward, back pay reinstated. I think that makes sense. But right now what we're seeing is the DOD is not sure they want to do this. First of all, here's a story from ABC News. ABC News, keep the COVID military vaccine mandate, the defense chief says. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, who's had COVID twice himself, even though he was boosted like 97 times. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin making clear he wants to keep the military's COVID-19 vaccine mandate in place to protect the health of troops as Republican governors and lawmakers are pressing to rescind it. 20 Republican governors sent a letter to President Biden asking the administration to remove the mandate, saying that it's hurt their U.S. National Guard's ability to recruit troops. Well, Austin's response, I'm the guy who ordered the military to require the vaccine, and I support continuation of vaccinating the troops. All right, there's the boss. There's Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, who got his degree and his commission from Auburn University here in Alabama. Great, nothing but respect, sir, but you know what? It's time to move on and recognize you were wrong. The military stopped the anthrax vaccine. The military got away from issuing mefloquine for malaria prevention. And the military, oh, by the way, recognized what it did wrong with Agent Orange. All three of those things were a good idea when they started, right? All of them. All of them were a good idea when they started. Mefloquine messed me up. Agent Orange messed up my dad. And then a whole lot of people got messed up by anthrax. And the military decided at some point, oh, that wasn't so good after all, and they stopped. So there is precedent for reversing a policy on something that is deemed necessary for the health and welfare of troops. When it first started out, maybe you had reason to believe it was okay. We now have empirical evidence that shows it is not okay. It is not working. It is not necessary. Maybe it mitigates some of your symptoms, especially for the older population. Our military is made up of the best and the brightest and the youngest and the fittest, and they have a lifestyle that is far more fit than the average citizen. Why would we impose this upon them when they do not carry the comorbidities that the other members of society who are more prone to this carry? Story I've got here, and I'll end it on this. Pentagon unclear how the military would manage the end of mandatory COVID-19 vaccines. How would you end it? Well, right now, this storyline that came off of usnavalinformation.org, usni.org, earlier this month, December 7th, was that what, 7 days ago? Under the mandate, as of November 28th, the Navy had separated 2,064 sailors, both reservists and active duty. The Marine Corps separated 3,717. I don't have Army numbers in front of me right now. I don't have Air Force numbers. But when you add it all up, you've got thousands and thousands of service members who lost their careers. And the Pentagon, it says in the opening paragraph, has no ready answers on how they would implement pending legislation to allow service members to refuse the COVID. How about this? You stop the program, or you make it an optional shot. You can do that. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. And the Secretary of Defense needs to wake up and recognize there is prior precedent for discontinuing bad programs. All right, folks, we love you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Boomer and I back here tomorrow at 2. Congressman Barry Moore on the show with us tomorrow. You guys have an amazing night. We'll see you then.
Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.